Have a care at least to thy lips, son of the true wife. My lips are made to me so that I can spew out what I cannot bear. Speak not from outside, Eliezer, but from within. What is God thinking of, that he layeth on me that from which my eyes turn inwards, and I lose my senses because it is what I cannot bear? Have I then the strength of stone, and is my flesh of bronze? If only he had made me of bronze in his wisdom. But as I am, it is naught for me. My child, my Damu, the Lord hath given him, the Lord hath taken him away. Would he had not given him at first, or that I myself had not come out of my mother's womb? Would there were nothing at all! What shall one think, Eliezer, and whither turn and twist in his need? If I were not, then should I know naught, and all would be naught. But even as I am, it is better that Joseph is gone than that he had never been, for so I still have what remaineth to me, and that is my mourning for him. Oh, God hath taken care that one cannot be against him, and must say yes, even while one saith no. Yea, he had given him to my old age, his name be praised. He had moulded him with his hands, and made him lovely. Like milk had he milked him, and built his bony structure, had drawn over it skin and flesh, and poured out grace upon him, so that he took me by the earlobes and laughed, "Dearest father, give it to me." And I gave it him, for I was not of bronze or stone. When I called him to the journey and gave him the command, he cried, "Here am I," and kicked up his heels. When I think upon it, my tears pour out like water, for it was even as though I had laid wood upon him for the burnt sacrifice, and taken him by the hand, and myself carried fire and knife. Oh, Eliezer, I have confessed before God, and openly admitted in all humility that I should not have been able. Thinkest thou he might graciously have accepted by submission, and had pity on my confession? No, but he breathed fire out of his nostrils, and spake, "What thou canst not do shall be done. Whether or no thou art able to give it, I will take it." That is God. Behold and see, here is the coat and the rags of the coat, stiff with blood. That is the blood of his veins, which the ravening beast rent, and it rent his flesh. Oh, horror, horror! Oh, sin of God! Oh, wild, blind, reasonless misdeed! Too much had I laid upon him, Eliezer, too much for the child. He went astray upon the field and wandered lost in the waste. Then came the hideous monster upon him and struck him down and devoured, unheeding his anguish. Mayhap he called upon me, or upon the mother who died when he was small. No one heard him. God saw that it should be so. Think'st thou it was a lion who struck him down, or a great boar that fell upon him with standing bristles and buried his tusks in him? He shuddered and plunged into a brooding silence. Inevitably the word boar set up in him trains of thought which lifted the horrible single event now wringing his heart, and placed it in the upper regions, among the primitive and symbolic, in the timeless and ever-evolving sphere, set it, as it were, under the stars. The boar, the raging swine of swine, that was Seth, the god-murderer. It was the Red. It was Esau, whom he, Jacob, as a variant upon the pattern, had known how to mollify by weeping at Eliphaz's feet, but who in the true and primeval pattern had cut up his brother, and himself might occur here below as cut up and divided into 10 pieces. And at the thought, a surmise struggled to rise into Jacob's consciousness. a sort of traditional suspicion lying in the deeper layers of his mind, where he had dwelt ever since he saw the blood-stained tatters of the coat. It was a sinister conjecture as to the identity of the boar who had torn Joseph. But it fell back again before it reached the surface. In fact, he himself helped to push it down. Strange though it may seem, he recoiled from knowledge of such a nature. He would have none of it, because it would have made him recognize the upper in the lower, because his suspicion would have been directed against itself. He was courageous. He loved the truth. He had recognized his responsibility for Joseph's act, and he had summoned strength to send him upon the journey. But he was not brave enough, despite all his love of truth, to face the thought of the brother's guilt, because that would have driven him to a consciousness of his own. Surely he may be pardoned for this. He could not have endured, and therefore his whole being rejected in agony, the bitter thought that he himself had been the chief boar, and that his foolish doting, born of his own pride and self-indulgence, had been the instrument which had brought the lad to his death. And yet the unbearableness of his suffering consisted precisely in this suppressed suspicion, and his need to manifest his wretchedness in the most striking way before God should be referred to the same source. For to Jacob, God was the important thing. He was behind everything. Upon him were Jacob's weeping, brooding, desperate eyes directed. Lion or boar, it was God who had willed, had allowed, in a word, had done the frightful thing. And he felt a certain recognizable satisfaction in that his despair raised him up to a height where he might actually expostulate with God, despite the contradiction of his outward debasement in nakedness and in ashes. Indeed, without the debasement, there could have been no expostulating. Jacob scraped his wretchedness, and in exchange he spoke freely and guarded not his lips. "That is God," he repeated, with visible shuddering. "The Lord hath not asked me, Eliezer, nor set before me the test, saying, Offer me up the son whom thou lovest. Perhaps I should have been strong beyond my humble expectation, and should have taken the child to Moriah, despite his question where then was the sheep for the burnt offering. Perhaps I could have heard it without falling in a faint, and been able to lift the knife over Isaac, and had faith in the ram. It would have depended on the test. But not so, not so, Eliezer. He did not even vouchsafe me the test, but lured the child from my heart by dint of my honest admission that I was not guiltless of the brother strife, and led him astray, that the lion should fall upon him, and a wild boar strike its tusks in his flesh, and root its snout in his entrails. For this beast, I may tell thee, devoureth everything. It even brought of Joseph to his lair, for the little swine his children. Can one understand and accept that? No, it is insupportable. I spew it out as a bird the feathers. There it lieth. May God do with it what he will, for it is not for me. Bethink thyself, Israel. No, I am without the power, my steward. God hath snatched my senses from me. Now let him hear my words. He is my creator, I know full well. He hath milked me like milk, and let me curdle like cheese, I admit it. But how is it with him? And where would he be without us, the fathers, and me? Is he short of memory? Hath he forgotten the trouble and labor of man on his account? And how Abram found him and thought him forth, so that he might kiss his finger and cry, At last am I called Lord and highest? I ask, hath he forgotten the bond that he gnasheth with his teeth against me and behaveth as though I were his foe? Where is my transgression and my misdeed? Let him show me. Have I burned incense to the Baals of the land and thrown kisses to the stars? There was no vice in me, and my prayer was pure. Why must I endure violence instead of justice? Let him in his wilfulness shatter me straightway, and throw me in the pit, for that were a trifle to him, even without right, and I covet not greatly to live if I must suffer violence. Doth he then mock the spirit of man, that he arrogantly destroyeth both good and evil? But then where would he be himself, without the spirit of man? Eliezer, the covenant is broken. Ask me not why, for I should have to answer thee sadly. God hath not held the pace. Dost thou understand me? For God and man chose each other, and made a compact whereby they might really become the one in the other what they are, and be holy one in the other. But when man hath grown fine-grained and tender-hearted in God, with disciplined soul, and God then inviteth him to an abomination of desolation, which he can in no wise stomach, but must spew it out and say, It is nothing for me, then, Eliezer, one must conclude that God hath not kept pace in the work of sanctification, but hath halted behind, and is still a sorcerer. Eliezer was, of course, aghast to hear such words. He prayed to the Lord to have mercy upon his master, whose affliction had brought him beside himself. At the same time, he did not spare Jacob in his reproaches. "Thy words are beyond all bounds," he said. "I cannot hear them, for they drag down the majesty of God against all warrant. That say I unto thee, who with Abram, thanks to God's help, struck down the kings from the east, and toward whom the earth sprang on the bridal journey. For thou hast called God a hateful sorcerer, and setteth thyself up against him as fine and tender. But it is thy words out of which the desert howls, and in thy great pain thou makest a mock of pity. For thou beliest him, and lettest thyself down with the frightfulest license of thy tongue. Dost thou decree upon wrong and right, and sit in judgment upon him who made not only the behemoth, whose tail stretcheth like a cedar, and Leviathan, whose teeth are dreadful to see, and whose scales are like to brazen shields, but likewise Orion, the seven-starred constellation, the dawn, hornets, snakes, and the dust Abubu? Did he not give to thee Yitzhak's blessing before Esau, who was somewhat older, and gloriously confirmed the promise to thee at Bethel, in the vision of the ladder? To all that thou consentedst, and found no objection therein on the score of the fine and tender human spirit, for it was all after thy liking. Hath he not made thee rich and fat in the house of Laban, and moved the dusty bolts to open, that thou camest away with child and chattel, and Laban was like a lamb before thee on the mount of Gilead? But now, when a misfortune has fallen on thee, a very heavy one, that no one denieth, then thou art defiant, my master, and kickest out like a balky ass, and wouldst upset everything in the most reckless way, and say, God hath not kept pace in sanctification. Art thou then free of sin, being flesh? And is it so certain that thou hadst practiced righteousness thy life long? Canst thou understand that which is far above thy understanding, and fathom the riddle of life, and ride over it roughshod with thy human words, and say, It is not for me, and I am holier than God? Truly these things should I not need to hear, O son of the true wife. Yea, thou sayest, Eliezer, answered Jacob to that with dismal irony, Truth is in thy mouth, and well thou knowest it. Thou hast eaten up wisdom with a spoon, and sweatest it out of all thy pores. It is truly edifying how thou chidest me, and forgettest not to bring in how thou hast holpen Abram to strike down the kings, that which is out and out impossible. For in the eye of reason thou art born of a slave girl at Damascus, and hast seen Abram with thine eyes as little as I myself. Lo, how I in my misery make free with thy wisdom. Pure was I, but God hath drenched me over and over in filth, and such as thou art find it reasonable, for knowing not of pious palliation, they let the truth go naked. I even herewith express my doubt that the earth sprang toward thee, and now it is all out.
Jacob, Jacob, what dost thou? Thou destroyest the world in the arrogance of thine affliction. Thou smitest it in pieces, and throwest them on the head of the admonisher. For I would not say upon whose head thou throwest them, strictly speaking. Art thou the first accosted by sorrow? And may nothing go against thee, but thou puffest out thy belly with blasphemy, and rebellest, and runnest against God like a bull? Dost thou think that on thine account the mountains are moved, and water runneth uphill? Verily, I think that thou wilt burst of malice here on this spot, since thou callest God godless, and the Most High unjust.
Silence, Eliezer, speak not of me so amiss, for I am bruised with mine affliction and cannot bear it. Is it God hath had to give away his son, so that he came before swine and before the grice of the swine in his lair? Or is it I? Why then speakest thou for him, taking his part and not mine? Hast thou any understanding of what I say? Nay, not at all dost thou understand, and wilt speak for God. Ah, thou God's defender, thou wilt receive thy reward, and be counted high in his sight, for that thou hast stood up for him, and shrewdly praised his deeds, he being God. But I tell thee, he will fall upon thee, for thou wilt praise him falsely, deceiving him as one deceiveth a man, and wilt secretly flatter him. Thou hypocrite, he will have none of this way of serving his cause and waiting upon him with fawning, when what he hath done to me shrieketh to heaven, in that he hath thrown Joseph to the swine. For what thou sayest, I too could say, and thou knowest I am not duller of sense than thou. But I speak to him otherwise, and even so am nearer to him than thou. For one must defend God against his defenders, and protect him against those who would protect him. Thinkest thou he is a man, even of overwhelming power, and it is his side thou must espouse against me, a worm? When thou callest him eternally great, thou utterest merely wind, if thou knowest not that God is still above God, still everlastingly above himself, and will punish from above, where he is my healing and my reliance, and where thou art not, if thou regardest thyself as between him and me. We are altogether evil flesh and prone to sin, responded Eliezer quietly. Each of us must deal with God according to his understanding and to the height he can reach, for no one can reach his height. Most likely we have both greatly sinned in our speech. But come now, my dear master, enter thy house, for here is enough of the violence of sorrow. Thy face is quite swollen from the heat on this pile of shards, and thou art too tender and fine for such a height of affliction. From weeping, said Jacob, from weeping for the beloved is my face crimson and swollen.
But he allowed himself to be led into the tent, being not further interested in the dust heap, in stark nakedness, and scraping his imaginary sores, they having served his turn to the end that he might expostulate his fill with God.